and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we are privileged to be able to come into the house of the Lord and to bring our praise and our adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we are grateful that you brought us through another week. You watched over us. You kept us, Lord, with a mind stayed on thee. And Lord, here at the end of this week, Lord, going into this weekend, God, we get a chance to celebrate you and all your goodness and all your mercy, Father, all your provision. Lord, all the ways that you've made and the doors that you've opened. And God, how you just continue to sustain us day in and day out. We're grateful for you. Father, we ask that as we worship tonight, that your spirit would just be welcome to come in and just have its way here tonight. We pray that you would anoint Father to minister afresh as he comes to speak the word of God. We come here in need. We want to hear from heaven tonight. So speak to our hearts, God, and draw us closer to you, Father, is our prayer. Those that are present, those that are online. And we just trust, God, that the Spirit of God would have the preeminence in this place tonight. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle, belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, yes, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Come on, sing it again. Just say, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle, the battle. Hallelujah. Sing with all your heart. I'm going to see, yes, a victory. Oh, I'm going to see a victory. The battle, the battle. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 yes. Oh, 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 say victory belongs to Jesus. Yes, it does. Victory belongs to him. Come on, sing it again. Say, oh, 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 oh. Well, oh. Victory, victory belongs, yay, victory belongs to him. Come on, lift your voice, say, oh, 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 oh. Sing it, oh, 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 victory. I know it does, victory belongs. I'm gonna see a victory, say, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. The battle, for the battle. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, the battle, the belongs to, hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. victory belongs to him. Hallelujah. Oh, we say, hallelujah, victory belongs. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the battle. To you, Lord, say, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, the battle belongs to you, Lord. One more time, I'm gonna see a victory. Say, I'm gonna see a victory. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory for the battle. The battle belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I got a wonderful, it was a really, really good praise report. I want either Brother Osway or you and Joseph just share that praise report of what happened, the video that you sent me. Amen. Y'all be seated just for a moment. Just really blessed by just the report, but you all can just come and just share, amen, that praise report. Praise the Lord.
God bless. Unexpected. last night we picked the kids up and we went to, I was working pretty late, and then Linda's horse is at another barn, and we had to go over there and the horse at the end of the night, maybe like around 10 o'clock. And when we're coming out, I actually saw a light, like kind of by the canal, but I thought it was like a flashlight or something. I turned, I started driving like a minute after I was driving. Joseph is like, Pops, that was a car that was on the side of the canal. And I saw two lights. I was like, stop playing, Joe. Like, stop playing. And we're like, you know what? If you saw that, I have to turn around, just in case. And if I turn around and there was no car, you're a false prophet. That's literally what we said, you know. He's like, well, I saw a car. Let me be a false prophet then. So we turned around and like he saw, we get there and there's a guy inside the car. I only by God's grace that the truck did not go all the way to the canal. He was on the side. Hanging by the tires. We get there, the guy is, he was a little under the influence, not super drunk, but he was on the phone and not paying attention, talking to his girlfriend, and that's how he lost control. So I went in there and I pulled him out. Couldn't barely get him out, but I pulled him out and we called 911. And when I called 911, Joseph put the window down. He said, Pops, can I just go out there and pray for him? And thank the Lord. And I was like, I wasn't thinking of praying for him. I wanted to get this guy like out. So I was like, well, that's what you want to do, man. You come out here and you pray. And this is what. And as he started, there was something was missed. But when he started, I was just like, something told me like just record, you know. So I got my phone and I recorded.
Here at this moment of time, Father God, because your timing is right, Lord God, to see him and say, shall we go help that brother, Father God? Lord God, and now we did what we could, Father God, but we put the rest of it in your hands, Father. As you guide the hands of the tow truck people that they get the car latched on right without it falling into the canal, because, Lord, Well, I know that this is a special vehicle to this man, Father God. And Lord God, I just thank you for allowing it to be the way it went and not letting it be a whole different story, Father God. And Lord God, we just thank you for letting this man live as he could have been easily injured, Lord. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father God, and you don't let no one down, Lord. Your goal is to lift our sights higher, not lower, Father God. And Lord God, as this devil, this filthy devil is trying to mess up this man's night, Father God, we rebuke him in the name of Jesus and stomp him under our feet, Father God. Lord, we put him to the side, Lord. And we bring Jesus and say, get behind me, Satan, Father God. Lord God, we put Jesus first and kill the devil. He's here to kill. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. But we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus.
Thanks, brother.
Amen.
My God.
I was blessed when I got that testimony today, and it was unexpected, Brother Josue, for you all to travel there and see that man hanging on the edge there, but just the way all that worked out, and I'm just wondering, you know, that I know he might not have been all sober, but my God, see a young man like that praying, I think it did something for the man when he went home. I think it did something for him when he went home. And just appreciate Brother Joseph being sensitive, you know, to the Spirit of the Lord, and just praying from his heart, you know, for the gentleman, and if we could just touch a life, then our living is not in vain. Amen. So I was just blessed by that testimony. What a wonderful testimony. May never see y'all again, but that was enough to cause him to think on his ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have tonight's announcements, and then we will just move forward in the service. My God, I hope y'all come on expectation. Amen. I know the Lord will meet us here in a very special way. Get this Sunday morning. We'll be here for prayer service 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then our Sunday morning service will start at 10:30 a.m. We will continue our streaming through Twitter, Facebook, and also our church website, john423.org. And there's a youth outing fellowship, I guess you can call it, that's going to happen on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. It's going to be held at our home, and this is for ages 16 and under, and we want to be very, very mindful that it will start at 2:30. Please don't come early. They're trying to, they got to get some things prepared before the youth get there, so just give them time to do that. But also, we want to encourage you, have your young people bring changing clothes, because some of the things that they'll do may cause them to get, we don't want to get their good clothes dirty, so just have some changing clothes after service, and 2:30 p.m. they can report there at the house. They will have food for your for the youth. They will have food for them, so just keep that in mind. You don't have to feed them; they'll take care of that. But just 2:30 will be the time that'll start and bring changing clothes. I think it'll be beneficial for them. Amen. The next announcements here. I'll just mention the giving for right now. Our giving is multiple ways. We have through Cash App. We also have through Zelle. And we have through PayPal. Also, those that would want to mail something in, the address is at the bottom of the screen. But if you use Cash App, it's $SpiritofTruthT. And if you use Zelle, giving at john423.org. We have PayPal last because we don't like to use them if we don't have to. They take fees, but we know some only have PayPal. So if you have to use that, giving at john423.org is where you would give to there. So again, we thank everyone for their giving, and we just appreciate all that you do, amen, to help the ministry. Here Sunday evening, just want to make mention, Brother Diggs is going to be speaking at Bride of Christ Tabernacle in Boynton Beach, Brother Gene being the pastor there, and that'll happen at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. So anyone would like to go and be a part of that, I'm sure you'll be blessed. And don't forget our Christmas service, since we are not able to have it here at the school. We don't have anyone able to open up for us and close up, and I understand that. But we do have the ability to go here to Fairfield Inn, which is right down the street. And you can see the address, 2045 Vista Parkway, West Palm. But that's just right down the street, right behind the Walmart. It's a new hotel there. And the way that this room is set up, we can park in the back of the hotel and just walk right into the room. But we're looking forward to our Christmas service there. And I am certainly anticipating, amen, the day that we won't have to move, amen, like that. We have a stationary, praise the Lord. But God knows what he's doing, amen. I got confidence in him, amen. So let's just pray, amen, over the offering tonight. And we'll move forward. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to give. Thank you for providing us with work. Blessing our businesses, opening doors that we can't even see. God, you've been good. Hey, every time the devil try to blow on us, you do something else to always let the devil know that you're in control. And Father, we just appreciate you for, amen, being a good father. Lord, we come and bring our tithe and our offering back to you. Lord, it's the least that we can do. And we give it back to you, asking that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. And Father, we thank you for the new church and the school, the things that you're already working out, amen, in our favor. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Believe in, Lord, that it's already done. And God, we just ask that you would just bless your saints as they give, those present, those online, give back to them a hundredfold, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. I want to say it had to be about maybe 2 years ago. I think roughly 2 years ago, I went to a minister's meeting there in South Carolina. And that they were hosting it at Brother Anderson's church. And Brother Diggs come out there that night and did song service. And he sung this song. And I could barely sing. After he was singing, I said, I can barely sing that because I need to write all that down. I don't know where that come from. And I got back home. I'd just been telling my daughters about this little group that they like, Maverick City. Like, they don't sing nothing. They don't do nothing. I was giving them a hard time. Then I brought this song back. They said, Daddy, you know where that song come from? I said, well, Maverick City. That's, oh, Lord. Well, they got one good one. But I really like this one. Amen. It's my declaration of my faith. Amen. When I'm going through it, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. No matter what I'm going through, I am going to see the goodness of the Lord. He's God of my present. He's God of my future. Amen. He holds it all together. My God, he never let go. He never let go. He never let go. So I just like praising him like this. And as we just get ready, amen, for Brother Diggs to come up tonight, let's stand to our feet and let's sing this song with all of our heart. Amen. Hallelujah.
Faithfulness remains.
Hallelujah. I believe that I will see.
I say, I believe.
Hallelujah.
That I will see.
the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, and I'm confident, yes, as seasons change. Oh, your faithfulness, oh, remains. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, say, I said, I believe, yes, that I will see the goodness of the Lord, the good.
Never changes, you know. So we definitely appreciate the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you all again. Amen. I certainly appreciate my brother and friend, Brother Jack. Amen. You know, we always say this, we go way back, you know. And you gotta appreciate what the Lord is doing. Amen. Don't be deceived by your eyes. God has a way to do things, you know, and a lot of times he's just kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. He's testing us, you know. Amen. So let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the word of God. Amen. If you have a request, you can acknowledge to the Lord by uplifted hand. Amen. Lord Jesus, Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for all your mercy, Lord, and the grace that you've given unto us, Lord, to know that we don't deserve it, Lord, but it's your choosing, Lord. It's your way, Lord, and you saw fit, Lord, to bump into us, Lord, and change our lives. For we wasn't even looking for you, Lord. But, Lord, you predestinated us before the foundation of the world. And there's not a trial that can change that predestination. Lord, a situation or anything can change what you have for us, Lord. So, Lord God, just make it well with our souls. Lord, give us the right attitude, the right spirit, Lord. And, Lord, you see the needs, Lord, that are lifted before you, Lord. We pray that you touch it, Lord, and make our desires, Lord, according to your desire. For we repeat back unto you, not our will, but thy will be done. Lord, bless the service tonight. Forgive us for all our sins and trespasses. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Again, good to see everybody. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. You know, I just want to express to you all, amen, good to see some South Carolina people in the house. Amen. Y'all from Florida, but you stay in South Carolina, you know, so. Good to see South Carolina in the house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, church, one thing I'm realizing more and more, when you're going through things, the place of strength is in the Word. Because the Word cannot change. It cannot fail. It cannot be altered. So if you can find yourself in the word, you can receive that strength. Amen. So let's just go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse. Let's just start at verse 1. The Bible says, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments. Now, if I could add something in there just for spirit and the truth, to make the rent go up to leave the building and be at a school. To see what was in thine heart, whether you would continue or not. And listen what he said. He said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. We're also going to start at verse 1. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, nor more can ye except ye abide in me. May the Lord have a blessed reading of his word. You can have your seats.
Glory.
Amen. Tonight, if I can use for a thought, I'll call us tonight purging season. Purging season. And you know, one thing about what's going on, church, there's not a lack of word. We have plenty of word. There's nothing wrong with the message. The message is still the same. You know, there's nothing wrong with God. He's still God. But what's happening is the trials are getting more intense. And along with our trials, in this season we're in, God is not giving us an explanation. We're just going through it. And you know, and things we're going through, we're not even ready for it. Hallelujah. And you know, we have to go through these things, but at the same time, what God is doing, he's checking our attitudes. And you know, a lot of times what we do, and I know if I can speak personally, what we do, when we go through things, the first thing we do is we zero everything in on that ain't nothing but the devil. But let's go back to what the scripture says. The Bible says, remember how I led you these 40 years. So the devil wasn't the one in control of the journey. God was. And church, we're no different. Amen. God is in control of our journey. So even though things, it doesn't look like it's things that a Christian should go to, let's realize this. We're on a proving ground. And we have to be proved by God. Hallelujah. But a lot of times the proving by God first must start. It must go through the rim of humility. Hallelujah. And humility starts with being stripped. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Humility deals with, hallelujah, people looking at you in a different light, even when you ain't did nothing wrong.
and you ain't even got no explanation for what you're going through. Hallelujah. You feel like defending yourself, but what God is doing is humbling you. Hallelujah. But not only is he humbling you, he's purging you at the same time. Because it's that trial that's going to bring things out of you that been in there. That nobody can see, even though you're a born again Christian. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. See, I think we forgot about that part. That there is a purging for the believer. Paul said, hallelujah, even the prophet of God said in the church age book that there is a measure of suffering for the bride. But what we do, amen, we want flowers all the time. We want candy, not just any kind of candy, candy with peanuts in it. Candy with caramel, amen. Something that's real, real sweet, amen. But church, we're in a time right now where you're going to have to believe what you say you believe. Hallelujah. And you're going to have to live by what you say you believe. Amen. And church, as we look in the Bible, amen, and you know, as we read Deuteronomy, amen, let's go back there real quick. You know, as we look, church, you know, we think about it. Why did God take 400 years? He could have easily brought them into the promised land. God has a purpose. You know, church, God allows things to happen at an appointed time because certain people have to be in position. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So we want it quick and we want it right now, but there might not be somebody who ain't here who's supposed to be here. Wow. And it might be somebody here who's not supposed to be here. So what God will do, God allow things to happen so people's perspective can change.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Let me say it like this, church. We know God is real. Hallelujah. This man didn't see God do miraculous things. This sister, different ones, all of you, you've seen God do miraculous things. So what's going on right now? What's going on? Why we ain't in the place that we've been praying about? What's happening? There's a purging going on. Hallelujah. Because one thing I want you to understand, if I can speak personally, hallelujah, if I can speak like I'm a part of the family, the burden of a new building is not his burden. It's supposed to be the burden of the people. But what we're doing, we sitting back, we letting, I wonder if Brother Jack found the building yet. I wonder if he went by this place. I wonder if he went by. Why don't you go? Why don't you ask God to lead you? See, church, the wilderness, holy, the whole thing about the wilderness, it was weeding out who was real believers. It was weeding out who really stood with the message of Moses. Because when they gave out, when they came out, everybody was like, I'm a believer. Till those trials started to come. What church you go to? Spirit and Truth? Then Spirit and Truth had to almost revert back to his humble beginnings. I was there. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. We looked like we had just started. That's what it looked like right now. Looked like we back down in Lantana. It is the Lantana. Hallelujah. Looked like we back down there in a storefront. Hallelujah. But what is God doing? God is proving the ministry. Hallelujah. And he's, hallelujah, he's letting people, hallelujah, prove what's really in their heart. By bringing it back down to simplicity. Can you serve God, hallelujah, in a simple manner? Yeah, Brother Jack, right now, I tell you right now, if God would move this thing into a big old building, hallelujah, you would get more members than you can handle. Because they want to be a part of something big, but let's be a part of something small first. Hallelujah. Let's be a part of the foundation. Let's be a part of things, hallelujah, that's building it up so when it gets shaky, it can't fall. Hallelujah. But hallelujah, when I look at this and I think about a purging, the Bible says, hallelujah, in Hebrews, that once the worshiper is purged, there should be no more sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. There should be no more conscience of sin. Amen. No more desire of sin once you purge. Amen. But I want to take it a little bit deeper than that. Because a lot of times when we look at that scripture right there, we're talking about only our desire. The purging of wanting and sanctification. But let's go a little bit deeper. Amen. I want to tell you, just like God had to tell me, that there's some things inside of you that only a trial can bring out. Okay, if we start with the children of Israel, let's go down the journey. God begins to deliver them with signs and wonders. Don't we have that in this church? Amen. Signs and wonders. You just heard the testimony. Amen. Amen. Turning around and praying over a man and pretty much saving his life. Right. We come back with the testimony. Hallelujah. We know God is with us. Amen. But what about in the times when you don't feel like it? Is he still God? Is your church still the place you want to be? Do you still love everybody? Hallelujah. But church, when we look at the purging, amen, what was God doing? As soon as God began to deliver, God began to show signs and wonders, everybody, even some of the Egyptians, were saying, I'm a believer. I'm out of here. Let's go. They even start going to Pharaoh and say, how long are you going to try to fight against their God? We didn't lost everything. Let's get up out and let them people go. Hallelujah. Church, and even, hallelujah, the Egyptians started to give them some of their blessings, some of their materials. Now, if I can, let's go into the scripture. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let's tap ourselves into the word. The Bible said Moses began to, hallelujah, tell the people to give. But then, when was the last time your pastor said the words of Moses? The needs have been met. Don't nobody give no more. Am I in the book? Moses said the needs have been met. We don't need you to give no more. We don't live in that day because we got quotes of Brother Brown. Oh, don't take up no, don't call for money and don't do this. Is there not a cause? Amen. But we selectively, hallelujah, give according to how we want to give. Church, you know what? We could really shake this thing and make things happen if we really want to. Hallelujah. And I'll be the first one to say hallelujah. I've learned to give more. Hallelujah. Because hallelujah is a twofold purpose in that scripture. It says give and what? It shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. But a lot of times what we look at is what we're giving. What you're giving ain't nearly what you can receive. When it comes to God. What you're giving don't even measure up what God has for you. But what I look at and I see, amen, that God, in the season of purging, what it does is whoever you are and whatever you are is going to just come out of you. As the trial is coming forth, whatever's in you is going to come out. You remember Brother Branham said he wanted to take his daughters and move them up on the Indian reservation. He said, but then God began to deal with him and tell him, said, whatever's in that child, it's going to come out, whether it's on the Indian reservation, whether it's down in a gated community or wherever they at, whatever's in them, it's going to come out. And you know, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid to turn it loose and let God have it. Hallelujah. You know, we're afraid to just say, yeah, that's my child, but I'm praying for him. Yeah, that's my child, but I'm praying for him. Hallelujah. We're afraid how people are going to look at us. And you know what's happening? It ain't just your child going through. It's you being purged. Oh, because you got an image to uphold. I'm a believer. And I can't have my child out here, my child doing my child. God will let him go through it. Hallelujah. Just to humble you. So you can show them what real love is. See, real love is to being able to love somebody when you don't agree with what they're doing. Ooh. You got to have something within you to do that. But look, first things first, God began to deliver the people with many signs and wonders. And after it was all over, you know, no more signs and wonders, they just had to walk with God. And as they begin to walk with God, what started to stir up their past? They started to think about where they came from. First things first, what was in them, it started to come out complaining. Oh, we had melons in Egypt. Oh, we had this. Oh, we had that. What happened? That trial brought out that they were an ungrateful people. And as they went along, they murmured about this, they murmured about that, they mumbled and mumbled and mumbled, and even to the place that God told Moses, Moses, move aside. I kill all of them. But God had a man in place, hallelujah, that would intercede for the people in the purging season. And I said even right now, God has a ministry in place that will intercede for the people in the purging season. When you get mad and skip church, when you get mad at the ministry, don't shake their hand, God will send a word, hallelujah, that'll keep the plague off of you, amen. He'll send a word, he'll have the ministry standing between the people, hallelujah, and death, amen. Just like he did in the scripture. Oh my. But when you think about being purged, God was, hallelujah, purging the children of Israel, and we look at it and we say, man, that wasn't nothing but the devil. No, it wasn't. It was the leading of the Lord. Because what God was doing, Sister Brown, he was cleaning the church out. He was showing all that cried to be Abraham's seed wasn't Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. And the more intense the trial got, the more people showed who they were. Hallelujah. See, it brings me to Job, and we know the story of Job. You know, and we can preach on Job for hours and hours, but what about when it comes to your house? Let me tell you something, amen. I know personally, you will go through things simply because it's a bet between God and the devil. You ain't did nothing wrong. You ain't talked about nobody. You praying, you paying your tithes, you coming to church, but simply because the devil challenged God about you. A simple bet. And we, when God has already told the devil, I want you, go ahead, try this one. Try this one. But what I want you to realize, hallelujah, God has a way that he looks at you before you even go through it. Go back and read it, amen. Before Job even went through the trial, God testified over Job to the devil. Yes, sir. God told the devil, he's perfect. Now, if I'm going through a battle and God then already told the devil I'm perfect, how can I lose? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. I'm being purged unto perfection. Oh, my. That word perfect means complete, without fault, without error, amen. And if God comes and tells the devil simply on a bet that there's none like him in all the earth, and we go through it and we complain and complain and complain, Lord, why you letting this, and we done prayed about this, we done fast and we done this. Let me tell you, if it ain't been 25 years, shut up and keep praying. Oh my. But look at the whole purpose of it. What was he doing? One, he was proving to the devil, hallelujah, that you can't curse what I blessed. Even though they're going through something, amen. Just because you're going through it, that doesn't mean there's a curse on your life, amen. Going through it means that you're being strengthened, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, amen, even when you're bringing forth fruit. See, we're bringing forth fruit. We're serving the Lord. We're in a heavenly atmosphere. We hear people being strengthened in the Lord. Even when you're in your purpose, God said that he'll purge you, that you bring forth more fruit. Holy, what does purging mean? Let's look at it, church. Ooh. Think about a man filled with the Holy Ghost still has to be purged. A sister filled with the Holy Ghost still has to be purged. Now, I know that's probably against the way some of y'all think. You think, oh, I got the Holy Ghost, everything good, ain't nothing wrong with me. You want to bet? You want to bet? You don't fight until you get the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, you will lie down and accept whatever comes your way. But it's the Holy Ghost that allows you to get back up and say, no, I'm not going to stay in this condition. Hallelujah. But when you look at purging, church, the word purge, it means to cleanse or rid of impurities. So you mean to tell me, hallelujah, that the Bible says even when I'm bringing forth fruit, I got impurities in me? Ain't getting no amens on that one, huh? We are striving for perfection. We are trying to get back to everything Adam lost. And I'm here to say that it's here, but we got to have the right attitude to possess it. Amen, church. Look at how he did throughout all the scriptures, everybody. Look, Moses was ordained to be a prophet. Amen. But how did he get in his position? He had to be purged. The gift of deliverance was already in him. Everything he needed was already there. But God had to put him in a position that he could be humbled enough to be used. Every power he would need, every spoken word authority he would need, every supernatural event he would need was already in him. The thing God wanted was all of it to operate under humility. So he had to bring him through a purging first. Hallelujah. So what did he do? Amen. He let him start real high in the palace house. He let him get the best of the best first. The best food, the best clothing, the best women, the best service. Everything you could offer was the best. Hallelujah. Then his mama come to him and brought him real down low and say, you know you one of us. The purging started right there. But not only was a purging, it was now a proving. Because what his mama was saying to him, God was going to prove it to him that she wasn't lying. But it had to start on the inside first. Hallelujah. And now you think about Moses. Moses had the best of the best. He was strong. He was a military man. He could fight. He could do all these things. And then his mama come in and shake his world. Say, this woman ain't your mama. I'm your mama. I know you think I'm just a servant taking care of you, but no, you came from me. You one of us, and probably pull out an Israelite garment. Hallelujah. And there was something inside of Moses that could identify with what she was saying. He didn't even know where it was coming from, but he felt the connection. Hallelujah. Church, that's just like you and me. Amen. We could have followed Billy Graham. We could have followed Oral Roberts. But what are we following? We're following the voice of a man some of us had never seen. What is it? It's a walk of humility. Because most of the things the prophet talk about in his own personal journey, we can't prove it. We have to take it by faith.
Exactly right, brother.
And the only way you can do that is you walk through the walk of humility. Wow. Trust me, I done been there on the mountain and looking for Eagles Rock and all these things and all the stuff, all of the pictures you got. And then you get there, you say, my picture don't look like this. Y'all done been there to Sabino Canyon? Yes, sir. Pictures we got with Eagles Rock and all that stuff, you get there, ain't none of it there, it's gone. And the first thing the devil did to, I don't know about y'all, but the first thing the devil did to me is say, I wonder if it's true. I wonder if any of it's true. But where's your hope? Your hope and your strength is in the Word. Don't never let the devil have the last word. Satan will speak, but if you're a believer, God will always follow every trial with the word. And then, church, at that moment, I'm up on the mountain, amen. It was me, Brother Israel, and another brother named Samuel, amen. It was Israel, the nation, hallelujah. Samuel, the prophet, and me, the bride, hallelujah. And we were all on top of the mountain. They said, here it is, Brother Diggs. I said, ain't nothing on that rock. That's just a plain rock. He said it was right there. He said, but the fanatical people then carved it out. Now I just got to believe in something that I've always seen, but I can't prove it. How do you prove this message? By your life. You don't prove it by your pictures. You don't prove it by your quotes. You prove it by your life. That's why I don't care when they say, Brother Branham, this Brother Branham, he had this, he did this. This ain't happened, that ain't happened. I can tell you what did happen. I was changed. Hallelujah. I can tell you what did happen. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The thoughts I used to think, I don't think no more. The stuff I used to say, I don't say no more. You know why? Because I've been purged. Hallelujah. And I'm in a season, amen, where God is still cleaning. And you know what? I was coming down the mountain, Brother Jack, and the devil say, see, all these years, and now you get there, ain't nothing there to it. Then God says, blessed is he who believe and have not seen. Y'all want to talk about a praise dance? Hallelujah. Because God began to show me, amen, some things you got to get it like Paul got it. Hallelujah. He wasn't there with the disciples, but he got the same revelations once he contacted the Messiah. Hallelujah. But church, if we could just look at the purging for a minute. It says, to cleanse or rid of impurities. To cleanse or rid of impurities, foreign matter. Ooh. Wow. Some of y'all got foreign matter inside of you. You say, what you talking about? Well, let's go to the kitchen. Now, you know, sisters, when you cooking, amen, first thing you do when you preparing a dish, you want a clean pot. You want a clean pot because you, no doubt you're going to make it dirty. But first you got to start with something clean. Hallelujah. You start adding your ingredients and mixing and everything and doing this and doing that. And once you get that dish complete, hallelujah, what do you do? If you're going to use it again, it has to be purged. It has to be clean. It has to be washed. It has to be made fit for the use of something else to go further with what you desire. And that's what God does. Hallelujah. He'll allow us to get in situations. He'll allow us to go through trials because there's things in us that need to be purged out. Hallelujah. None of us knew that Abraham was a liar, but God did. Lot didn't know it. Sarah didn't know it. Hallelujah. All of his servants, hallelujah, they didn't know it, but God did. Hallelujah. So what did God do? Hallelujah. God put him in a situation, hallelujah, where what was in him that nobody else see could be purged out. What was it? It was a trial. Man came in and said, I want your wife. And the thought of him losing his wife made him tell a lie. But first of all, he lied because he was protecting himself. That's not humility. That's not humility. He was protecting himself. So what God did, God put him in a place, hallelujah, where he felt like he was inferior. Amen. Even though he was the father of nations. Now this is what I want to challenge you with. Where are you getting those thoughts of fear from? They ain't coming from God. They don't even, they're not even a part of your journey. You create your own situations of fear because God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where is it coming from? Your imagination. Church, if we look, this is the reason why we have to be purged. Because fear takes over our journey and we start to do things that doesn't reflect the character of God. If you look, church, Adam and Eve were created what? In the image of God. Adam was created in the image of God, the likeness of God. Hallelujah. And nothing could stop him. Nothing could challenge him until he didn't look at himself like God looked at him anymore. And as Adam, you know, God had no reason to purge him because he was just like him. He thought like him. Everything else God did, he could do it through Adam. It wasn't until, hallelujah, Adam began to think different that he had to become purged. And what caused the purging, hallelujah? Him listening to something that God didn't say. And when we listen to things that God didn't say, hallelujah, we're really operating under a measure of fear. Glory. We because you look, church, hallelujah, God comes down in the cool of the day like he always did. Adam and Eve had sinned. What was the first thing they did? They ran from God. Where did that come from? They never ran from God before. Now all of a sudden they're running from God. What was it? Amen. Things had changed. Hallelujah. Church, I'll tell you right now, if you look over your life, hallelujah, what's stopping your progress spiritually is the spirit of fear. Because fear is the first attribute of sin after the fall. Yeah, the original attribute was adultery. Hallelujah. But after adultery, man began to operate in fear. And everything he did was fear. Everything he talked about was fear. All of his situation was products of fear. Because man never knew fear. And what I love about God, God always challenges our fear. Amen. He always challenges your fear. That's why you go through the trials you go through. Church, let's understand this. You're not going through the things that you don't have a problem with. That's not a test.
Amen.
If you never smoke, you never drink, God ain't going to hear you. He'll sit you in a room, put that on the table. You look at it like it's a thing of Kool-Aid. It don't even bother you. But if you was a person who used to smoke out, if you was a person who used to take it down, God allow you, hallelujah, to get in a situation where you got to know what you're supposed to know about yourself. Hallelujah. And let me say this. Fear will have you running from your deliverance.
All right, we on? Praise God.
Church, one thing about it, Satan, he wants you to run from your deliverances. I remember one time, I like to tell this testimony because it's funny to me. I remember one time I went out with a brother, I was preaching for him. He took me to a restaurant. You know, the restaurant had music playing in the bar. And you know how we as believers, I ain't going, they got a bar in there, I ain't going. You going there to drink or you going to eat? I don't know about you. When I go to Applebee's, I ain't going to drink. I'm going to eat. I got ribs and chicken on my mind. Hallelujah. But for somebody who doesn't appreciate or who's confident in their deliverance, they run from it. See, hallelujah. It's not supposed to have power over you. You're supposed to have power over it. See, you're not supposed to fear what you were delivered of. Hallelujah. I'm not saying, amen, hallelujah, you want to be at the club shaking and doing it and dancing it and throwing it around, you know. No, you don't want to be doing that. What I'm saying is if you find yourself around that certain thing, you're not afraid. Because you know what God did. Hallelujah. But me and this brother, we was in a restaurant and they were playing some rock and roll music. And you know they had that good guitar whistling like Prince was playing. He said, "Oh, brother, geez, I'm so sorry about the music." We fellowshipping, talking, and eating music. "Oh, brother, geez, I'm so sorry about the music." I said, "Bro, I'm good. I kept eating. So I came in to eat. Music wasn't bothering me. But what was happening was he was having a battle. And he tried to make me a part of his battle. If you don't have full deliverance, don't bring somebody else in. Hallelujah. Just ask God for mercy and grace and keep it pushing. Hallelujah. But don't try to make me weak with your weakness. Don't try to make me identify with your struggle. Hallelujah. God has delivered me from those things. Hallelujah. And he's like, "Brother Diggs, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Finally, I said, "Look, bro, this ain't bothering me. This ain't bothering me. I ain't grew up with no rock and roll. This ain't bothering me. Now, if it was some rap, it'll be something different. I say, but this don't bother me. If it was some R&B or some rap, it'll be a different story. I have no struggle with this. You do. And you know, a lot of times in the church, the things that we have struggles with, we try to put it on somebody else. Tell the pastor, Brother Jack, you know, so-and-so did this, sister so-and-so dressed this way, and I can't pay attention to church because sister so-and-so. It ain't sister so-and-so, it's that lust demon you got on you. See, it's the purging. God will put things right in front of your face. Just so you can see you in as whole as you thought you was. But what he'll do, he'll have that thing be buried way down in it, but that trial will rise it on up. See, let's understand, church. I ain't calling you a devil. What I'm saying to you tonight, your goal, your deity, and deity has to be what? Beat on. Goal has to be beat on. It has to be purged. It has to get all the dross and filth out of it. Why? Hallelujah. Because God knows it's real goal. Hallelujah. And let's understand something about real gold. Real gold is not found in the palace. It's found in a dirty, dark places. Maybe a cave or a minery. But it takes somebody, hallelujah, who knows its value to get down there and dig it out. Hallelujah. And that's what we have. We have a five-fold ministry who knows the value of the deity inside the church. And they'll get in there and preach and dig it out. Hallelujah. It'll talk about your household. It'll talk about your children. It'll talk about your marriage. It'll talk about your job. It'll talk about your absentee. It'll talk about your finances. What is it doing? It's digging out all the places you are afraid of. Hallelujah. But it's gold. And to get the real value out of gold, it has to be beat on. But first things first, it got to be heated up. And right now, it's getting hot in here. I don't know about your life, but I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm like, Lord, can it burn? Can this thing get any hotter? And God speak back and say, yeah, I want you to be a flame. I want you to be a flaming fire. I want you to be so on fire for me that it won't be red, it'll be blue. Now that's when you know it's hot, boy. You see a blue fire, you're afraid to put your, that's something they use the well with. That kind of fire cut things. That kind of fire separate things. Hallelujah. And God will let the trial get so hot to begin to separate all those things that you got going on the inside. And it was that trial, hallelujah, that God allowed Abraham to go through to purge him, to get that line out of him. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from that place, he never lied again. Because he never had a reason to fear anybody after that. Because God came and God dealt with him, hallelujah. God dealt with him, and even in all of his lack, hallelujah, God fought his battle. And you know, by the time God was finished with Abraham, God told him, he said, look here, shall I hide anything from my servant Abraham? See, now what? What is God saying? Man, you done been proven. When you want to get to that place. Yeah. I ain't be too much long. Y'all know I'm about to close. But he said, even when you're bringing forth fruit, he'll purge you that you bring forth more fruit. Because some of us got things in us that don't reflect God. Hallelujah. You know, it also means purging. It means foreign matters, things that God, hallelujah, has not placed there. It's foreign. You know, when you go into a foreign country, you got to have a passport. Hallelujah. You can't just walk over there and you know they say that girl that just got back, Brittany Griner, she just got back. I bet she won't be trying to go back no more. She got humbled big time. Hallelujah. They ain't care if she was a lesbian, they ain't care if she was a superstar, they ain't care what she was. 9 years. Changed her whole identity, her whole perspective on life. Hallelujah. Amen. I bet you her and her community and all these things that she was fighting for, I bet it ain't mean nothing when that gavel came down. She didn't even care about the way she looked anymore. She cut her dreads off. Because when she was out there in cold country, she said her hair used to freeze up. She said, I can't do this no more. Let me cut it all off. Now, I guarantee you, if she was here, she would start protesting, fighting. I got a right to have my hair the way I want and do what I want, but God know how to purge you. God know how to humble you. That's why I don't be worried about the young people. Amen. Let them go. Let them do their thing. You preach this word, continue and stay consistent. Hallelujah. We ain't saying agree with what they doing. Amen. But we don't have to be on their back every day, every hour, every minute. God gonna take care of it. He's still God. Hallelujah. God gonna take care of it. Church, I almost preached tonight. I seen them do it. That almost been my subject tonight. I seen them do it. Amen. You seen God take you out of a small church, put you in another church. Hallelujah. And then go from that church to a bigger church, to a bigger place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God opened the place so much. Hallelujah. If you wanted, you could have had the whole plaza. Say it ain't so. Say the opportunities ain't never came. Hallelujah. That you can take this, you can take the school room, you can take this room, hallelujah. Before there was ever a Family Dollar or a General or whatever, they could have had the whole block. And we worried about where our next place. God already got it. He just wants somebody other than him or her or whoever else to be looking for it. How many of us are hungering for that spot?
Glory to God.
We've seen him do it. Church, I don't worry about when I go to the doctor and they prognosis. The only thing they can do is tell me I'm all right. Because that's what the Bible say about me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there's things that have happened in this church that have become staples in my journey. Hallelujah. And some things I wasn't even here for, I just heard about it. Y'all remember that New Year's Eve service when Sister Michelle tore up the carpet? And she just said something simple. Brother Jack was talking about it. She just said something simple. Praise is what I do.
All right.
And that thing stuck with me. It's still with me to this day. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You think somebody else would just say, oh, shit, don't do that fast. No, don't call me out. Like, praise is what I do.
Yeah.
You're going to get this praise when I come. You're going to get this worship when I come. I ain't worried about what you do, but when I come here, amen, I come to exalt him, lift him up, and bless his name. If the carpet got to suffer, the carpet going to get it tonight. The carpet going to get it tonight. For this purpose, I came. So we can put carpet in the building for him. Church, there are things that have happened. I've seen them do it, and we worried about the next spot. I've seen God move people out of the plaza just for y'all. Turn your music down. We ain't turning nothing down. Church, we've seen him do it. This is our purging season. Before we get to the next spot, let's make sure our hearts are right. That might be holding up the blessing. Somebody's heart ain't right. Somebody's life ain't right. You got something inside God don't want to take to the next spot. You ain't going to turn your music down? Okay, well, you're going to need another place for worship. You're going to need another place to go. And I ain't going to say a word. I'm going to just operate in the scripture. The battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. Lord, you said, shake the dust off your feet. Somebody need to shake the dust off their feet. Church, what we have to realize that life, our lives are preordained by God. There's nothing happening right now that God doesn't know about. But when I think about purging, I think about pruning. And you know, a tree has to be pruned. And when there, it's not because the tree is a bad tree. It's because, hallelujah, there might be something in the way that's stopping other branches from growing. Hallelujah. So that branch that they've been producing and did what it's supposed to do, it got to be trimmed down. Because there's more life around it. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry about people that you don't see no more. They still might be bribed, but they just had to be trimmed down. Hallelujah. They might have to be trimmed down. Why? So you can rise to your spot. Hallelujah. I don't get into the business of who bride and who ain't bride. It ain't my business. Oh boy, they didn't spoke against the message. They didn't do this, they didn't that. The only one that can forgive them, the only one that can take them in is God. And we have to remember that, hallelujah, not only in our prophet, but also in King David, he said, leave him alone. Maybe the Lord told him to say that. Praise God. Oh, they said this. I got something I say to my gym people. People I go to the gym with, I say, I just be minding my business. Hey, coach, they ain't doing it right, but I'm just minding my business. I ain't going to fight you by doing it right. I'm just letting you know if you want results, you got to do it right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But if you don't want to take it, I'm just minding my business. Church, I'm in a spot, I'm in a place now, hallelujah. Despite what you might see or despite what you might think, I'm living in a realm where my attitude is control what you can control. Everything else ain't my business. How you think about it ain't my business. I can't control the balance you got in your head, but I can control who I am. Hallelujah. Church, in this life, hallelujah, when you think about the bet, it was just a bet between God and the devil over Job. And what I love about it, amen, what you have to realize is that there's no place Satan can ever show up in your life that God doesn't see him. God sees him. Church, he said the sons of God went to present themselves before the Lord, and the Bible says, and the devil came also. And what does God say? The first thing he says, whence comest thou, Satan? See, he saw him. He knew he was there. Amen. Church, there's not anything you go to where God says, oh my God, man, Satan got by me on that one. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Amen. God is already aware. Amen. And better yet, he allows it. Amen. See, I don't know about you, but my life, there's a spiritual casino. Every table in my life is rigged to work out for my good. Brother Smiley, my dice, my spiritual dice, they're weighted to always fall on 7. The devil think I'm going to fall on 6. No, some kind of way that thing rocks over 7. Looks like I'm going to lose the battle. He rolls it, rocks over 7. Always works out for your good. Every table in your life is rigged by God. So let Satan throw his bets out. Let him go ahead and challenge God. And God is saying, go ahead. I already know that everybody you see is a part of the winner's circle. Hallelujah. Church, a lot of times what holds up the blessing is our attitudes while we're being purged. Amen. And the thing about being purged is a 3-cut method. Hallelujah, when you're cutting that tree, there's a 3-cut method. Right. 3-cut step, hallelujah. You don't just go cut the branch and no, you don't do that. There's a method to it. There's a science to it. Because the branch is weighted a certain way, it's seasoned. So if you go straight to the arm of it and cut it, it's so heavy, it'll rip down the tree. And it'll tear areas that don't need to be torn. See, that's what some of y'all want to see. You want to see the pastor preach on people in church. When things go, I don't know why Brother Jack ain't going to let this brother come preach on this and that. I don't know. No, hallelujah. There's a 3-cut method. When you're pruning, amen, there's a precision to it. First thing you do, hallelujah, when you're pruning a tree and when you're cutting, what you don't do, you just go right to the problem and cut. No, you come out some. You come out some, and then the cut is not visible. You cut under the bottom where nobody can see it. Well, Whether you realize it or not, the word is dealing with that person. And they're being cut, hallelujah, in a way that you can't see it. Maybe the pastor's having conference with them in ways where you don't see it, hallelujah. But what's happening, that tree is being pruned. Hallelujah. And what we want to see a lot of times, things done openly, no. Things got to be done in private a lot. You know, I learned a long time ago when I thought I was John the Baptist. God not going to give me the satisfaction of seeing somebody rebuke because I think they're wrong. That ain't the right attitude. That ain't the right attitude. So what God will do, he'll allow things to happen so you can get humbled. Then he began to show me the difference between a pastor and an evangelist. And I'd be sitting there thinking about Brother Anderson Dude. I said, boy, that was me. I lay into that thing. I lay into him, the wife, the kids, the cousins, everybody involved. I lay into everything. And then God says, see, that's why you're not a pastor. Because pastors ain't built like that. Hallelujah. Amen. They're built to deal with the problem, hallelujah, and save as many people as they can while they deal with the problem. And the worst person you could be is somebody that want to see somebody hurt. God will allow it to go on just to humble you. Oh my. I'm speaking from experience, church. Listen, what else does this word purging mean? Purging also means undesirable elements. Now don't raise your hand. But I know right now, in this church, while I'm preaching, all of us got things about ourselves that are undesirable to us. Amen. Things that we pray about. Things that we say. I almost turned to a bloodhound just now. All of us got things that we take to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, help me in this area. Those are situations and things that need to be purged. Undesirable elements. To cleanse, and this is the one I want you to catch. Hallelujah. Purge means to cleanse of guilt. How many people on their Christian journey and been saved for years still walk around with guilt? Still walk around with what they came through. And think about where they came from. And can't even enjoy where they are. Because they're living with guilt. That's why God takes us through things to purge all that out of us. Hallelujah. And you may not even realize what I love about God. Hallelujah. God's a visionary. Hallelujah. He can see things in you that you don't even know you're a part of. He knows how you're going to react, hallelujah, before you even get in a situation. So God will put you in it just so sometimes you can look in the mirror. Before I switch gears a little bit, let's talk about, hallelujah, being purged. In your position, filled with the Holy Ghost, being used by God. It still got to be purged. You're like, man, I don't know about that, Brother Diggs. That's... Well, let's take it straight out the message. Brother Branham had to be purged. He had a lying spirit in him. Yeah. That spirit was always there. It was just way down in there. And what God did, God put him in a situation where that lie had to be told. Listen, I think it's in the third seal. When the prophet talks about Jesus meeting the woman at the well, he said what he did was shine light on her past and showed it to her. Just so he could deliver her from it.
Amen.
Because once he showed her her past and her mistake, having so many husbands and this and that, then the light came on.
Yes, sir.
And you say, what God will do, God will show you a mistake just so he can bring you to your deliverance. And what happened, church? He put the prophet. Now listen, what I started out with, hallelujah, purging, hallelujah. You be in situations you be in, hallelujah. Things will happen that you have no explanation for. That's how the purging comes. That's why I say it's purging season. Look, hallelujah. Look at the prophet fighting the taxes. He didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He had proof. He was putting the money in the right places. He was doing the right thing with the money. He was signing it over to the church and doing the right thing and all this and that. Then the tax people come back and say, you owe this. Wow. And they put some serious pressure on him.
That's right.
And they kept coming. You know, he had maybe two or three different phones. They could get all lines.
Amen.
Because remember, he had a line that he didn't want to be bothered on. And I believe it was that line that day the tax collector called. He was in the house. The bat line. And the phone began to ring. And the prophet, his wife says, Bill, it's that tax man. Tell him I'm not in here. God put him in that situation. Because there were more people involved than just him and me. And sometimes God will deal with your purging to bring somebody else closer to God.
Amen.
So now he walks out the house, comes back in, and she says, now, Bill, you know that just wasn't quite right. And he was like, well, you know, I really technically, you know how we do when your kids, you ask your kids something, they don't really want to lie, so they go all the way around the mountain, but they still lying. In church, he says, well, technically, I wasn't in the house. I walked out the house, blah, blah, blah. You know, Bill, you know that ain't quite right. Y'all know the story. So he goes on about his business, being a prophet. Got a call to go pray for somebody. Ain't thinking nothing about what he just did. But God was. Now he gets operating in his commission what God called him to be. Hallelujah. Pray for the sick. And now he's there praying. God said, you ain't fit to pray for that. You just told a lie. And that thing struck him in a way. What did it do? It humbled him.
Amen.
Humbled him to prove him. It humbled him, and he says, God tells him, go make it right. And he goes find the tax man, the lawyer, whoever he was. Go to his office and confesses to him, say, look, when you called, I was there. But I walked out, and I'm sorry I lied to you. And that man says, I always had respect for you, but now I got greater respect. See, him humbling himself brought that man closer to the vision. So sometimes you, just being purged, allows the other branches to get some of that light. Hallelujah. And it don't feel good being purged. But the end of the whole thing is that the tree continues to live. Hallelujah. And live and produce. Well, let me ask you something. What stops a tree from producing apples? You say time. No, it ain't time. It's supposed to continue. As long as it's a tree, it's supposed to continue. What stops it from producing apples? Somewhere in it, the tree got a sickness. Still look like an apple tree. You know it's an apple tree, but it's not producing apples no more. What's stopping it? It's still an apple tree. Some kind of way, the mechanics in it has gotten off. The dynamics of the tree has gotten off. It's still supposed to produce. And let me say it like this. If you're not producing, something has gotten off. He said, even when you're bringing forth fruit, he'll purge you that you bring forth more fruit for one more year. No, he don't put a time limit on it. Oh my. Listen, before I close, I want to read you something. Oh my. And you know, what the Lord has done for me, he's allowed me to look at my trials from a different light. Now I laugh at the devil. I be like, oh boy, you know what you're doing? You're making me stronger.
Right.
Might not look like it, but that's what he's doing.
Years ago, I was down here. I think it was Hurricane Dennis. Hurricane Dennis, yeah. It was having a youth meeting at Brother Wesco's. Brother Wesco. And Hurricane was coming. Hurricane was in Miami. It was coming up. It was blowing our shirts. And I'm looking around. I'm looking at Jack. I'm looking at Smiley. Y'all going to have church? And they look at me like, yeah, why not? See, I had never been in that kind of atmosphere before. See, they've been there before. They said, bro, we just bought up our house. Boy, what we going to do? And we just keep it pushing. And it wasn't lying. People still out in the street getting gas, buying food, doing everything. I said, don't they realize a hurricane down there? But somebody like me, I was operating in fear. They was operating in, we're going to come through this. We didn't been through this before. So we ain't worried about this. We're going to come right on through it. But for me, I was like, oh, no, it's time to go. But just being in things like that, hallelujah, it lets you see what you're making out, what you're making it out to be, somebody else is already overcoming. And they ain't looking at it the way you look at it. I say this before I close, be careful that your imagination doesn't lead you. Because your imagination can be a product of fear. You take a young lady who's been waiting to get married, she's been waiting a long time, and then she say, ain't no boys in the church, I ain't never going to get married, I'm going to listen to that. That's your imagination. And you let your imagination lead you out of the from under the umbrella of the word. And it happens like that with a lot of things we do. Listen, he says, oh, the fire only waters it. It only gives us new hope. It only strengthens it. Every trial, testing, every time a wind hits a tree, it shoves it back and forth and back and forth. It only loosens the roots so it can grow deeper. You mean to tell me right now, whatever we're going through is making us better? Making us stronger? If you're looking at it through the eyes of God. He said, it's getting a better hold. Every time sickness strikes your home, every time trial strikes your home, every time the neighbors say something bad about you, it only shaking you, loosening you up so you can get down and get a better hold on the eternal rock of God, unmovable word. So church, that's what our tests and our trials and different situations are doing. What they're doing, they're making us stronger if you're not being led by your imagination. If you're being led by the promise of God's word, you have something to grab hold to and get a better grip. Hallelujah. Because when it's all said and done, when you look back on the purging and God cleaning us up, after that goldsmith beats that gold and beats that gold, he flips it and beats that gold and beats that gold and flips it, beats it, and he doesn't stop beating it until when? Sees his reflection. And that's all God wants from us. He wants us back to the place where he looks at us, he sees Adam. His very likeness and image. And the only way we're going to get there is through a purging. Because we got so much stuff in us that have to come out. You know, sometimes you'll be riding in your car and somebody just cut in front of you. Because there's a reaction that God want to get out. So you can repent of that thing and not do it again. That's what God does. Church. Listen, the purging of the spirit. I was reading how Paul, I'm about to close, how Paul, he says he wanted deliverance. And Paul was like, Lord, I done besought you 3 times about this thing, and you know, you still hadn't delivered me, and God had a purpose for it. God was like, Paul, there's an abundance of revelation in you. So I send a messenger to buffet you. It wasn't a spirit that was going to stay with him. It was a messenger to buffet him for that situation. And then he said, the prophet of God said, what does buffet mean? Buffet means blow after blow. So he said, is it the journey to get better? And God let the messenger come again. Boom. The journey to get better, he let the messenger come again. Boom. Let the journey get better, the messenger come. Boom. What was he doing? Keeping Paul humble.
Right. Wow.
Hallelujah. Why? So he could use him and continue to use him. And church, look at, oh, what did all of his trials do? His trials help us get where we are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He let him go through all of those things because I love saying this. He let him go through all that. You know why? Because he had the book of Romans in him. He had the book of Corinthians in him. He had the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesus, the book of Galatians. First and second Corinthians was inside of him. And what brought that out? Trials. Church, half of those books he wrote, where was he? In jail.
Amen.
Church, remember one, he ended the book by saying, hey, and by the way, bring me a coat. The Bible says a night and day in the sea. Hallelujah. Whipped with 40 stripes at least 5 times. Bit by a viper. Church, he was even stoned. Why? So we could get half of the New Testament. Paul was being purged. Why? So that God could continue to bring that word out of him. Ooh. Wow. Now what's your trial bringing out of you? It's supposed to be bringing something out of you. Amen. This is supposed to be some kind of victory. Church, look at it. Viper bites him on his head. He just shakes it off. They don't even get it. Fear didn't even have any place in his journey.
Right. Amen. Amen.
The prophet of God said, when fear is gone, faith is made perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Paul can look at Agrippa and Festus and say, for this purpose I came. I'm going to Rome. Hallelujah. Church, and it wasn't just him, but God always purged the saints of God. Amen. Like I started with Moses. Moses purged. Abraham purged. You know who else had to be purged like nobody else had to be purged? King David. Listen. I love the story of David and Bathsheba. Because the parallel of it is, David was taking a rest that day. But God didn't call him to rest. God called him to fight. So the day he decided to rest was the day he fought his greatest battle. Don't get in your mind, I've arrived, I'm good, we here, this is it. No. You're setting yourself up for a major trial. And David goes and sees Bathsheba, and the prophet of God says, she know he come out there and sit there. It was all planned out. And now David, hallelujah, he sees Bathsheba. We know the story. He takes Bathsheba, take the man's wife. Now let's look at all the stuff that's finna come out of King David. All the stuff that was already in him, but now it's finna come out in a perverted way. We knew he was a warrior. We knew he was a killer. But now it's going to be perverted. Hallelujah. Now, church, he's looking at Uriah. And say, man, I got to get rid of this man. This baby ain't mine. I know the baby mine, but I want the baby to be his. He plotting and he's scheming and he's lying. He's cheating and he's doing all kind of stuff. And you know what, church? A lot of times, hallelujah, we get blinded by our own trials. He was doing all this stuff and he didn't even see how guilty he was. It's purging season. Woo. Now Uriah's dead. I'm fast forwarding. Y'all know the story. Uriah's dead. And David. Woo. Boy, I got out of that one. Woo. Come on, girl. Let's get married. Now here comes Nathan. Nathan started to talk to David. Started telling David a parable about a man who had one sheep. This other man had plenty of sheep. He said he takes the man one sheep and this and that and do all this stuff. And David said, I'm going to kill him. How dare you? I hate that kind of person. I'm going to kill him. And Uriah's like, David, you want to kill yourself. That's who you need to kill. Kill yourself. And David was like, oh my God. But the heart of a true son of God don't try to find their way out of repentance. Don't try to find their way of being, hallelujah, putting on humility. But they operated. Even though he was a king, hallelujah, David fell on his knees and said, Lord, I have sinned. Hallelujah. That was the difference between him and Saul. Saul said, it was the people. David said, I have sinned. David fell on his knees. And then God came back and God said, David, you ain't going to die. Why? Because he made it right. He accepted the purging. Hallelujah. Why? Because God had to give us something out of that. Hallelujah. And out of that trial, what do we get? Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. David began to cry out song. Hallelujah. And now we sing that song of the ages. But all of that came from a purging. But it was trial after trial, purge after purge. Why? So that we could get those mighty songs. Amen. God would take David into battle, so David began to operate in, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! Hey. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody else's trial could be your victory. Amen. So don't cast them down. Don't talk about them. Hallelujah. It could be something that'll make the church better. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Church, before I close, let me read you this. Come on, musicians, I'm closing. This is what he said. He said, and here was Moses, mother in the conflict of the testing of her faith. And every child, every son that cometh to God, first must be what? Tried. God tests your faith. Now this is what I love about this quote right here. He says, now look. Like God could just simply bypass the whole thing. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm sure we've all asked that question. Say, Lord, I done prayed, I done fasted. I'm sure we don't have to go this route. God could just simply bypass the whole thing. He said, and don't have any appropriate way. And just cut the thing off. But he said, but it's better that he gives you a test and then comes to you when you're in the test. I'm going to say like the Pentecostal preacher. Y'all hold on, hear me. I say, God will give you a test. I say, God will give you a test so he can come to you in the test. So the test is to bring forth a greater awareness of God in your life. A greater appreciation of his presence in your life. Anybody being tested? I hope you're looking for God. Hallelujah. I hope you're looking for God because the whole reason why you're being tested is so that he can show himself in a clearer light to you. Amen. Amen. So before you like, oh, God, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of all these child. I'm sick of this. Don't be sick of it. Just give God praise. I give you some of my words. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to praise your name. It might look crazy, but I ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. All I got to do is continue to serve you, Lord. Hallelujah. All I got to do is say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, sometimes I be in church, you be tired, and you feel like yawning. I turn that yawn into a hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. God been good to me. Satan trying to make you sick. You know, we post-COVID. Everything is COVID now. Common cold is COVID. The flu is the COVID. Everything is COVID. Start coughing. Every time I cough, I say, thank you, Jesus. Now, how long you think the devil going to let me cough if I keep saying, thank you, Jesus? He out of there. Hallelujah. But church, we're in a purging season. So don't be surprised with the battles. Just go through them. But go through them with the right attitude. Amen. Just see, that was the only thing God had to check Job with. Had to check his attitude. Because there was time where Job said, I don't even know why you made me. I shouldn't have been born. Oh, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. You was born for that purpose. Hallelujah. So God could win the bet. Hallelujah. Don't let your imagination lead you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, and all that you've done, Father, we know you have greater things to come for this church, Lord, and the ministries within it, Lord. And Father, you just help us all to persevere. Lord God, and like the word said, when we've done all we could do to stand, we stand there for. But it's not us standing, Lord, it's you in us standing. So, Father, we continuously give you the glory and the honor, Lord, that you've fulfilled in our lives. And we bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. At church, amen. Amen. Lord, I love you. You are good. Lord, we love you. You are good, Lord, we love you, you are good, oh, Lord, we love you, you are good, sing, Lord, we love you. You are good, Lord, we love you, you are good, Lord, we love you, you are good, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, we thank you. You are good, Lord, we thank you. You are good, Lord, we thank you. You are good. Lord, we love you. You are good. Lord, we love you. You are good. Lord, we love you. Worthy, you are worthy, you are good, you are good, you are worthy, you are good, Lord, Lord, you are worthy, you are good, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. You are good. You are good. Lord, we thank you. You are good. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. You are good. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are good. You are good. Highest praise it. Hallelujah. You are good. Hallelujah. You are good. Hallelujah. You are good. Lord, I praise you. I praise you. Lord, I praise you. You are good. Because of your goodness, Lord, I praise you. You are good. Lord, I praise you. You are good. Lord, I praise you. Because you're worthy. You are good. Say, Lord, you're worthy. You are good. Oh, Lord, you're worthy. And you are good. Oh, Lord, you're worthy.
Oh, somebody give the Lord praise in this place tonight. My, certainly appreciate the word of the Lord from our precious brother Diggs. I think I've probably read that scripture in Deuteronomy, I don't know how many times, but just completely missed what the Lord was really trying to say. Especially, I think God has a word for you in every season of your life. And I don't know, I guess it just means more to me when somebody kind of has been with you along the journey. And I love that part. I seen him do it. All these things that we done seen God do, we know what he's capable of doing. Amen. He does the exceeding, the abundant, above all we can ask or think. But we have to go, we have to be willing to go through this purging season. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Even after we step into our new building, you all need to be aware that there might be another season of purging even during that time. Now, the good thing about a purging season, anytime anybody preach from John 15, they preach in my life story, because that's how this church got started, amen, based on John 15 and what God spoke to me through that scripture. But when you go through purging season, the beautiful thing about purging, amen, is that it always brings forth more fruit. It always does that. And so you have to look to the other side of the process, not just what you're going through, but what God is doing inside of you. Amen. Through the midst of this. So I just thank God. I just appreciate that. I'm happy I came to church tonight. Praise God. Hey, God bless you. God bless you, Brother Diggs. Thank you so much, brother, just for delivering your heart to us tonight. Amen. 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 Well, let's have a word of prayer, amen. We'll prepare to dismiss, amen, on tonight. Father, we just thank you for the word that has come to us, how strengthened we are and encouraged we are by what we heard. Thank you for using your servant. And I thank you for the saints pressing their way out, Lord, to come and hear the word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave here, we'll go meditating and thinking on the things that you've spoken to us. May change take place in our life, oh God, and may we be warned in the spirit, Father. We don't want our imagination leading us. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us. The scripture says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, Lord, I pray that we would take time to pray and hear you, Lord, speak to us. We trust, God, that you would just get glory and honor out of our lives and help us to realize that whatever we're going through, it didn't catch you by surprise. God, you knew all about it before it even got started. So, Lord, whatever it is that you want to take out of us, if you want to humble us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to realize how much more we need you, God. We're willing to go through. Amen. I believe that the songwriter said, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. So, Lord, I pray that you just continue to use your servant, Lord, as we prepare for the rest of the services this weekend. God, speak to him, amen, once again, to bring, Father, the word of life to us, and not only to us, Lord, but also there to the saints in Boynton. Lord, may you just get all the glory and all the honor out of all that happens this weekend. Thank you for what you did tonight, and we just appreciate you, Lord. Watch over us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.